As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples. It's a bit like that story we heard a bit earlier, isn't it? Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks anything about it, tell them that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed the cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their clothes along the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables and the money changers and the benches of those who were selling doves. It is written, he said, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to see him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Yes, have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night.
Okay, I'm going to talk to the children again just for a couple of minutes. And we're going to think about the donkey's footprints. And if you think about that donkey being a young donkey colt, he'd never, ever been ridden before. Nobody had sat on his back before. How do you think that donkey felt when the disciples went to fetch him from his mother? When they took the donkey away from his mother, how do you think the donkey felt? Any ideas? Yes? Sad? I think possibly a little bit sad that he was leaving his mum for the first time. Yes. How else do you think he felt when he saw that Jesus was going to climb on his back and nobody had ever sat on his back before? Any ideas, Freya? Little bit scared. Yes, I think probably you're right. I think he probably did feel scared. He probably felt like kicking and jumping around a bit because he'd never had anybody on his back. When Jesus stroked his neck very gently and whispered in his ear, and climbed calmly on his back, and that very amazing man in white was sitting on his back. How do you think the donkey felt then? How do you think that donkey felt? Excited. I think he definitely felt excited. Why do you think he felt excited? Do you think he realised that there was somebody very special sitting on his back? I think he did. I think he knew that Jesus was kind and gentle and very special indeed. How do you think that donkey felt when he saw those cross Pharisees and those angry religious leaders in the crowd? How do you think he felt then? What do you think the donkey thought? Those people look angry. They don't look friendly and excited like all those people waving the palm leaves. What do you think the donkey thought then? Those angry people in the crowd. What do you think the donkey thought? Any ideas, Freya? When he saw the cross people, Tony was a very cross religious leader, wasn't he? Shouting out, stop all that noise. I think that donkey probably did feel a bit worried. Oh, my goodness me. What are those angry people over there? I don't like the look of them. Are they threatening this lovely man on the back of me? Okay. What about when Jesus got to the end of the road and he climbed gently off the donkey's back and the donkey went back to his mother? How do you think the donkey felt then when Jesus climbed off his back? What do you think he thought about that person who'd been riding on his back? What do you think the donkey felt? Who do you think the donkey thought the person on his back was? Probably didn't know his name was Jesus, but do you think he thought he was somebody very special? What do you think the donkey thought about that very important person who'd just been riding on his back? What do you think he thought? Freya, have you got any ideas? Well, I'm going to tell you. I think that donkey probably thought, do you know, I think I've had somebody really, really amazing on my back. I think I've had somebody really special and really wonderful riding on my back for the very first time today. And you know, that donkey was right. He had had somebody very amazing riding on his back. He'd had the King of Kings, the King of Kings, the King of all our lives riding on his back. And Jesus, that King of Kings, wants us to be his friend and follow him. He wants all of us to be his friend and follow him so that we can make kingdom footprints on the world and make a difference to people's lives. Okay, now we're going to have another song in a minute, and I think during that song, the children are going to go out.
The reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. People were bringing their children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and blessed them. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what can I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not covet, do not steal, do not give false witness, do not defraud, honour your father and mother." "Teacher," he replied, "these I have done since I was a boy." Then Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go, sell everything you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have inheritance in heaven. Then come back and follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around him and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for a man, for the rich, to enter the kingdom of heaven." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or fields, for me and the gospel, will never fail to receive 100 times as much in his, as much in his presence. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many were first will be last, and the last first. They went on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the chief priests and the teachers of the day. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise.
Well, good morning, everybody. What do you think about that, then? Nice to have a few children here, isn't it? Shakes us up a bit. It's not quite how the rulers of Jesus' day responded, though, was it, when they had the children being excited? We've had a great week and lots of kids in each day of the week. And we've been working as a team together, and we've been learning about the team that followed Jesus. Pretty strange team, wasn't it? And we had a little drama as we went through the week with Mark playing Prince Larry very well. We had Seth playing Great Scott with a Scottish accent. And when he was wearing a false moustache, when that came off, he became Eli. So he looked a lot younger. But he took on his true persona of Paul McSmall. He was pretending to be somebody else to get into the expedition team. So it was a pretty odd expedition team. All sorts of people. So then we heard about Jesus talking about who could come into the kingdom of God, God's kingdom team. What did he say about the people that could come in? Well, he said anyone could come. Let's have that first slide up. Thank you. The next slide. Thank you. This was our memory verse through the week. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. It's quite a remarkable verse, isn't it? All those that the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. That's John 6:37. God chose a very odd group of people to be Jesus' first followers. That's quite encouraging, isn't it? Because take a look around. Each of us is odd in our own way. Each of us is unique. But in the reading that we heard, especially in that second reading that Anne read for us, not everybody was pleased about all being invited. They didn't want the children to come to Jesus. They didn't want the noisy, ordinary street people to come to Jesus. And there's this phrase, they were indignant. Horrible word, really, isn't it? They were indignant. Why? Well, the kingdom of God was for them, not the likes of the others. We're invited to come and join that team. Anyone who will accept Jesus as Lord is invited to join that team. If we invite Jesus to be our Lord. No one is too old or young or has made too many mistakes. It doesn't matter where we start from. If we come to him, he'll never send us away. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." Well, we spent a few days trying to invite the children to come to Jesus. We're doing that again this morning. We'd love to continue to do that, inviting them to follow Jesus. But to do that, we need you to invite them to come to Good News Club, to Sunday Club, to Good News Club on Sunday. To invite them or to allow your children to come or your grandchildren to come. You know, when Jesus said, "Let the children come to me," sometimes that's in your gift to influence those who can release the children to come, to let them come. Well, today is Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Resurrection Sunday. Let's have that next slide. As we've been reminded, it's that day when we remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. The donkey's found another bit part in our play today. And it's sort of towards the end of Jesus' expedition, isn't it? You know, Jesus come from heaven to earth, gone through 30-odd years, and now he draws his little group of followers into Jerusalem. And as he does so, it's a time of great celebration, really, isn't it? But right at the end of that passage we heard read, we heard a real stark warning from Jesus when he said this. Verse 32, "They were on the way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, whilst those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. 'We are going up to Jerusalem,' he said, 'and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise.'" What sort of courage does it take to know exactly what lies ahead of you and to set your face and do it anyway? This is the courage that Jesus had. He knew that he would die, but he knew that he'd rise again. We just spent a whole series thinking about what resurrection might look like and what it actually meant when Jesus rose from the dead, and that none of the disciples grasped that that's what Jesus was talking about when he was speaking. So often when Jesus spoke in parables, the disciples took it literally. And when he spoke literally, they thought it was a parable. And with rising from the dead, they kept saying to each other, "What could he mean by that?" Well, Jesus knew that he would be killed and he'd rise again. A little later in that same chapter, he explains why. Why was he going to go through that ordeal? He says it was to give his life as a ransom for many. To give his life as a ransom for many. There is a great cost to Jesus' great invitation. It doesn't come free. It's as if we were all held captive and Jesus paid the cost to release us, the ransom. He's able to offer forgiveness to all, acceptance to all, salvation to all, only because he dealt with all that we've done wrong. He did so on the cross, taking on himself the consequences of the sin of the world and of your sin and my sin. It's that opens the way for you and me to come. So Jesus invites you to come, to follow him, become part of his team, bringing good news to anyone, including you, but to anyone, and to say that they can be put right with God. Just going to lead us in a short prayer, and it's really a prayer of commitment. And I'm going to read it through once, and then I'm going to read it through slowly, that you might want to pray it yourself. But I'll just read it through for you to hear what it might be that you'd pray. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things which I have done wrong. Thank you that you died to break me free from the hold these things had on me. Now I choose to make you ruler of my life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can become part of your team. So if you'd like to pray that just in your heart or mind as I pray it, I'll read a sentence, you can pray it after me. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things which I have done wrong. Thank you that you died to break me free from the hold these things had on me. Now I choose to make you ruler of my life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can become part of your team. Amen. Amen. It's a simple prayer, but in that prayer we move from darkness to light, from enemies of God to his friends, from rejection to acceptance. And it may be you've been a Christian for many years, but we can still come back. Wherever we've ended up, whatever we've done in our lives, we can still come back. I'm going to continue in worship now, and perhaps during our first song we might take up our offering. And beyond that, just allow the Spirit of God to speak to you through this special day as we remember Jesus coming to his people.